It's time for Sweet Home Cannabama, a show that'll answer all your questions, provide accurate information, and dispel the myths of CBD. You can participate and have your specific questions answered by emailing sweethomecannabama.com. And now for all things cannabis in Alabama, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome to the show, everybody. I'm Jennifer Boozer, your host, owner and founder of Cannabama, the CBD store here in downtown Mobile. We're located at 558 St. Francis Street, on the corner of St. Francis and Warren, a block up from Wenzel's, next to the Delta Bike Project. Our phone number is 251-255-5155, and our website is www.cannabama.com. That's C-A-N-N-A. Don't leave the two N's out. So many people spell it C-A-N-A. I'm like, really?
You know, it's funny that you say that, because, like, when we were at the event, the 420 event.
Yes.
You messed up the number, and I remember thinking every single time you say, you know, I could say that in my sleep.
Well, I said our phone number is 255, and then I blanked. And I must have looked like a deer in headlights, and then I went 5155.
That was a crazy event, though.
In front of hundreds and hundreds of people, yeah.
But you got it, though.
I did.
You got it.
I got it right. So it's CANNABAMA.com. So you can shop online and find us on the map, give us a call, send us an email, watch the video, whatever you want to do. We're there, cannabama.com. Anyway, Sergio is with me again tonight. We want to spend part of the show recapping one of the top 5 days. I'm not even kidding. Top 5 days of my life. 420 Bienville Square. All the work and preparation that went into it, all the nerves, all the money, all the lack of support we got from some people, and the overwhelming support we got from others.
But it was great that nobody was stressing.
Oh,
never. Nobody.
Not at
nobody
all.
Nobody was stressing at
not,
all.
Not.
No.
Shut up, Sergio. Sergio always keeps me humble. Devil's advocate. That's Sergio's role in my life. Half the time, anyway.
I'm more of a cannabis advocate, though.
Right. Yes, but you're always, what about this? But what about this? And I'm like, why don't you shut up? He's usually right, though. He keeps me from getting tunnel vision, that's for sure.
And this is where I need somebody to come and deflate my head.
Right.
Because now my ego's stroked, and I got to find a way to down myself and degrade myself so I'm still human.
Well, you know, I have very few people in my life that I would take it from well, and you're definitely top of that list, because, you know, most people, I don't know, you're just super genuine and you're
well,
good to me.
You trusting
and
me
I love
your,
you.
I appreciate you trusting me with your feelings and all that.
Oh, so yeah, yeah, yeah. Even though, you know, I have sensitive feelings sometimes, but I'm developing a thick skin. Anyway, back to 420. So
420.
We were crazy on Tuesday trying to get all the preparations done and all. And then I had to be there at 7 a.m. Wednesday to meet the guys with the barricades. So I was like going on 3 or 4 hours of sleep, and I looked like quasi-homeless. And our gubernatorial candidate had come in the night before, and he was like, hey, I'll be up early, you know, let's go to breakfast. And so I was like, cool. So we did that. We had breakfast, me and Rob, my friend Rob, who's a farmer from Birmingham. We had breakfast with Dave Thomas, and still just the most genuine dude ever. And we ate at the Ruby Slipper, and, you know, he fit right in. And he is, one thing I can say about him is there's not a pretentious, fake, phony, or false thing about him. He is who he is, and that's how I like to try to be. And so I appreciate him so much for that. But it was just madness all day long. We got back out there. We had problems with parking. So I paid the city to have all the spots on three sides of Bienville Square. And they put the little red bags on the meters and all that. No one was paying attention to that. People got towed. People got tickets. But I'm like, if I drove up to a meter and it had a bag over it with a red sign that said, do not park, you're not going to catch me parking there. I mean, I don't know what people were doing. But anyway, that was a little weird. And so I was there till like 1:45. And we had some delays. We had some things go, you know, a few people going, what do I do? What do I do? And we were like, I don't know. And at 1:45, I was wasted tired already. And I had to go home and take a shower because I smelled like a mule, I'm sure. And looked like one, too.
What kind of mule?
Does it stinky
like
one?
Like taking care of an American ranch or like a Mexican ranch?
No, like, yeah, one of those stuck in the mud kind of things. Half dead, yes. I was so tired. I think I had a light breakfast, and then sometime like 5 hours later, I had a third of a Chick-fil-A sandwich. That's all the food I had all day. And it was warm. So I go home for like an hour and 20 minutes. When I leave, there's no tents up. There's no stage up. And we're like 2 hours behind, and I'm like, you know what? I'm just going home to get dressed. If it all burns down in flames, I'm going to look cute doing it. And I came back, and Rob went with me. And when we came up to the corner of Dauphin and Conception, it was 3:17. Okay, the official of activities didn't start till 4:20. There was a line already, three people wide and all the way back to Dauphin Street. And I looked out and there was tents up. There were vendors all set up. There were people milling around. The stage was like from nothing to like boom. And I got choked up. I'm not kidding. I was like, holy crap, it's happening.
And just so you can understand this feeling, you know whenever you're at a restaurant and you order your food and then you go to the restroom and you're like, man, I'm really hungry. And then you come back and the food's just waiting there for you.
And you're like, it's the greatest meal you've ever had.
Exactly, because mm-hmm. you weren't there to wait for it, all that, because you had to get some stuff done.
Right.
You came back and it's there.
Right.
It's exactly as it needs to be.
All the hard work choosing what you wanted.
Exactly. The drink was
worked well. Can I afford this?
Yeah. Like, sure, I'll have to forego a little bit of my rent this month, but you know what? Let's go with
it. This will be good, yes. So I was flabbergasted. I park, I get out, there's people everywhere. They're wearing T-shirts, they've got their wristbands on, they're buying food, they're buying products, and everybody's having a good time, and it just went up from there. You know, it was just crazy. The panel went off without a hitch and was fantastic. We're going to talk a little bit about that in a minute.
We'll have some clips for you like in about a week or so.
Yes, yes, yes. And because some of the things that were said during the panel need to be repeated verbatim.
Mm-hmm. Especially from the sources.
Right.
Because it seems like sometimes we like to talk about what other people have said without them actually having said it.
Right.
I feel that makes a lot more of an impact.
Right.
Of like, oh, well, he said, she said, maybe, maybe not.
Well, they each, I mean, we did it for, what, 35 minutes?
Something like that, yeah, 35
so
minutes.
So they each said many profound things. And mm-hmm. there are some things that stuck out for me, some things that I probably was spaced out a little bit because I was a little nervous. I was up there too, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I could barely remember my phone number. but, you know, the music was flawed. It went off without a hitch. And the blunt rolling contests were holy crap.
Yeah, they were fun.
So fun.
There were good alleviation moments, like from all the stress of like, you know, set changes and all that stuff.
Right. A lot could go on in the background
mm-hmm.
while the blunt rolling contests were going on. And you know, we had this little 6-foot table.
Yeah.
And there were people around it, surrounding it, smushed in, you know, 3 and 5, and at the end and the big one when the governor
mm-hmm.
and Burger, when Dave Thomas and Burger, hello, how funny is that, were no, and Dave Thomas is wearing a whole suit with a tie, and he's leaned over rolling a blunt like a pro, and his tie is like in the bud on the rolling tray.
And he had weed socks on.
Yes,
too.
He had on socks with pot leaves yeah. and edibles. He'll dress to the nines, but he's always going to have silly socks on. I love it. But yes, Burger, I don't know his real name. He's a big old boy. Burger.
He actually friended me on Facebook.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, he was like 6'5", and like he was a big boy. And he won the crazy trophy that we got.
The trophy is cool.
The trophy was very cool.
I don't even roll blunts, but I would have just tried to roll one just to see if I could have won it.
Well, you know? And last week on the show when it was me and Dre, I even said, I don't know if we'll have the trophy in time
yeah.
because I hadn't heard from the girl who ordered it. And she sent me a picture of it the day before.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, she brought it the day of. It was fun. And that was sponsored by Fuse Kitchen.
A lot of people came together for this event.
Which, oh, man, yeah. It was so great.
So, shout out to Fuse Kitchen, of course.
Yes.
WMTB.
WMTB. Yes.
We appreciate y'all, you know, looking out.
Yes, and we had tons of press. We're going to talk more in the next segment about exactly who was there and talk some more about how awesome it was.
Ticket sales and
maybe stuff. Read you a Facebook post that really touched my heart. We'll be back in just a minute.
To Sweet Home Canabama. Now with all the information you want about CBD, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome back, everybody. We're talking about 420 Bienville Square here with Sergio. There's so much. We could spend the whole hour talking about it, but I know you guys are getting sick of hearing about it. So we just want to recap some of the highlights. One thing I want to read this. This was a Facebook post that one of the musicians who is a friend of mine wrote, and I was blown away by this. But I've heard similar sentiments from so many people. I thought this eloquently summed it up. It says, "Yesterday was so monumental that words alone would be an understatement. We would like to shout out Jennifer at Canabama for making history downtown. It's insane what a convention could do for the community. To see something that's often overlooked, shunned, or criminalized for no good reason at all, uniting people of all walks of life is a statement within itself. People were having fun, and there was not a ruckus of any sort coming from what I claim to be one of the largest 420 congregations I've ever seen. The air was literally filled with love. And thank you, Jen, for letting us be a part of one of the most historical moments in Alabama's history. I don't know if it's that, but I'll take it. It was such a powerful movement carrying a powerful message with diversified support. That is what I call a successful event. Praise God." So I have gotten lots of messages saying thank you for what you're doing for this community, because someone needed to do this a long time ago and no one has ever been willing. And so I'm going to take all that. Y'all, I've taken some licks. I'm going to take it and I'm going to parade it around, because, you know, we pulled something off that even I didn't know if we could pull off. And I'm the dreamer and the visionary and the one who, you know, is the risk taker, you know. And it's people like Sergio that temper me when I get too big for my britches. But, you know, that's the general atmosphere. There was no, when I say no violence, I mean no one even looked at anybody hinky. It was old, young, rich, poor, black, white, green, yellow, purple. It was toddlers. And it was gray-haired elderly people. It was all walks of life. There was press there. There were politicians there. There were business owners there. There were people from every corner of this area. And I could not be more proud of that most of all. That the atmosphere that happens inside my store, which I am most proud of, that every person, no matter where they came from, once they set foot into Canabama, feels at home, feels welcome, and everybody, no matter who else is in there at the moment, they feel that way. And we were able to take that and translate that into a much larger event open to the public, where I didn't know most of the people there. You know, I probably knew a quarter of the people there or had met them, you know, outside of the vendors and the musicians and stuff. You know, but largely they were strangers to me, and that's the most exciting part, that hopefully we were able to educate and impact people that we had not had access to before. There were probably four different podcasts broadcasting from the thing. WKRG was there. WPMI put us on. AL.com was there. And then that doesn't even count. Like that morning we had been on WKRG from an interview the day before. And then they interviewed me at the park, and that ran that night. I'm two different stories, you know. That was pretty cool. So I'm really, really thankful that people took us seriously. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah. You're lost in thought there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, yeah. No, that's what we do. That's what my company's always done from the beginning. Is the very tagline vision is disrupting the status quo.
Right.
And that's what, you know, I mean, from setting up shows to doing mixed genre shows.
Right, Dre too.
Doing the first blunt rolling contest on the air.
Yeah, that blunt rolling contest is historical as it seemed in the park. We had done that a year and a half before.
A year before.
On the live stream.
We had already known that we were going to do something like this. It was just more or less pushing the right buttons and saying, hey, we're going to do this regardless if you want to do it or not.
Right.
And
so real quick, I want to thank, of course, our host was Canabama, All This Entertainment, which is Sergio's company, Song for Song Music, which is Dre's company, who was on last week, our sponsors, Galactic 8 and Boro Hemp, the food vendors, Big Belly Brothers and Fuse Kitchen, our musicians, Big Lex, Taki Ali, Jay Haynes, Ballastella, and Red and the Revelers. And our speakers, Dave Thomas, running for governor, vote Dave Thomas, y'all. We're going to talk about that, too. Dr. David Allen, Reggie Pulliam, and me. And thank you to DJ Blaze for being our moderator. And congratulations again to Burger for winning that blunt rolling contest.
And Holly Krause for winning the VIP.
And Holly Krause won the weekend passes to the Hangout Fest. And so I think I saw her say that she had never won anything before. So it's quite a prize for your first time.
Yeah, that's cool. That's
anyway,
awesome.
we are absolutely doing this again. And we're going to start planning for 420 next year at the end of the summer, right about the time school starts. So if you are a business owner who would like to be involved either as a vendor or a sponsor, we're going to give first right of refusal to the ones that took a chance on us this first time because they were
events.
Outstanding.
Or other events, too.
Right. Any events. Happen, yeah. We are planning some events for the summer.
Some cool thoughts.
But for 420, we want 420 to be our big once-a-year thing. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to start putting out info packets and taking sponsorship forms and donations and gathering volunteers and vendors probably in August, beginning of September. So be looking for that. I think we're trying to plan a game night for June, and we're still got to talk to the venue that we want. But we'll have board games. We have Ganja Land. It's like Candyland, but for weed. We have Cheech and Chongopoly. I don't think that needs any explanation. We have Think Like a Stoner. We'll have Stoners versus Zombies, hopefully. Which was one of the vendors at the 420. And then we're going to have some trivia. So there will be an educational component in all of it. We'll have some trivia. And that will be interesting for me to see if anybody can compete on that one. And then we're going to have some relays, like a blunt rolling contest, like relay races. I was thinking, you know how when you do the races at like field day, when you put an egg on at the end of a spoon in your mouth and you run across it. I was thinking if we got like a big giant nugs and put that on the spoon and made them, you know, because those are light, they'll blow away. And just things like, we're trying to be real creative.
We should still do that, the big blunt thing and the guess how much is in this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We couldn't find those ginormous, like mini baseball bat looking raw cones. We wanted to do that and have people guess the weight of it.
Or the relay with the nuggets. You come to a certain point and then they peel part off and try to roll it while running.
Oh, that's hilarious! I know a guy who can drive with his knees and roll at the same time. It's very scary.
We're not calling you out or anything like that. But if you could do it, come on down and put yourself into the contest.
Hey, start practicing now. You got about 6 weeks.
So anybody that's like swerving on the road, what were you doing? Oh, I was just practicing for an event.
I mean, if I can find a couple of hemp sacks, we'll have a three-legged race. Don't play with me. We'll have a sack race. But anyway, we'll have music and food, and that'll be sometime in June. And then I think we're going to try to move ahead with ladies' night, probably right as school is starting because the mamas are going to need it. Maybe like, if school starts on a Wednesday, we'll do it that weekend or something where the moms can come and chill out after buying all those school clothes and last-minute vacations.
Should I get one of the nail salons or salons to sponsor? And
oh,
get
yeah.
Like, get, like, pedicures, manicures types things going
yes.
on.
Yes. I have talked to my nail lady and my hair girl about doing stuff like that. Anyway, we've got lots of big plans. I want to do something in the fall. But if your business would like to be involved as a vendor or as a sponsor, cannabis is happening. It's happening everywhere all around you. It always was. We're just trying to call it out and pull it out into the sunlight, you know. Normalize.
And to put a little bit of a number on that, so far as what we've counted is 673 tickets so far that had been sold, and that's of 55 tickets of kids and 72 to 13 to 20-year-old tickets counted.
Right.
And then everybody else, 546 regular tickets, 21 and up, so far. So, I mean, like, that's like...
Right, and that doesn't include the 100-and-something people that were there participating.
This is a tiny army.
And it doesn't include all of the barricade jumpers.
Yeah.
Because there were some of those.
And you know what? Sometimes you just have militiamen, you know, to come in and just say, you know what? I want to help you out. I got a pitchfork and stuff. I can stab somebody. I got you. I feel you. All right.
But no stabbings happened.
No, exactly. There was no fights.
And can't.
There was no. Nothing. There was no problems.
Nope.
I mean, and that. I mean, that's kind of unheard of in the city when it comes to things, especially when there's alcohol.
Especially
there's
lately.
A lot of emotions raised and all of that. Like,
but I think that goes back to not having alcohol at the event too.
Well, I mean, if it goes back to the science, like being crossfaded and having like
right.
having just bad experiences while on a psychoactive element.
Right.
And then bring something else that brings in another types of emotions like alcohol. Like,
right.
Yeah, definitely.
That's a good segue to the next segment, what we're going to talk about in the next segment, too, because, people are dumb. But anyway.
Well, people just don't know sometimes. You
well,
know,
and then there's the people that do, and they make really poor choices on behalf of other people who are unknowing. But that's the next segment. That's the next segment. Well, I have a lot to say, and I don't want to give it away. Anyway, the policemen that were there all came to me at the end as a group and said, hey, this was a great event. We enjoyed ourselves. It was very peaceful. I mean, they made buku money just walking around eating my free food, you know. They really didn't have
they
to
enjoyed
do
the
anything.
Food. That's all they kept talking about. I was like, I like the food. I love the food.
They
love the
those waffle dogs from Big Belly Brothers and the Fuse Fries. With all the different toppings, you know, they had a good time and they thanked me, which, you know, what in the world is happening when the cops come to the ringleader and say, thank you, this was a great event. When we come back, we're going to talk about some stupidity in Florida and how, if you don't know, it could really give us all a little headache. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Cannabama. Now with all the information you want about CBD, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome back, everybody. Here is a story from WKRG today. And I had heard about this before, but so in Tampa, there's a wedding, right? Nice wedding. Let's see, in Longwood, Florida.
So I'd imagine a lot of trees, a lot of good sunshine.
Right.
Some people just having a good old time, you know, a good layout, I'd imagine. Lights and like all frilly white.
Right. So there's 30 to 40 people at this wedding reception. And the sheriff's office starts getting calls because people think they've been poisoned or they think something's wrong and they're sick. This bride, the bride and the caterer, unbeknownst to everyone, including apparently the groom, decided to infuse the entire meal with marijuana and not tell anyone and serve alcohol. So no one knew, okay? This is not okay. This is not okay. Infused food is fantastic. But you definitely, it's like not like your mom sneaking sour cream into the mashed potatoes, okay?
You're instating psychosis.
This is not the same thing as slipping carrots into spaghetti sauce. So your kids get vitamins.
A dog pill into a treat.
Right. Yes, because the dog doesn't know any
exactly.
better. And yeah, no, this is not that. This is, well, what I keep thinking is, people are on medication, and they're mixing their medication a lot of times with alcohol, too. But can you imagine if somebody was on medication, got weed-infused food, and had a glass of wine, thinking, I'll treat myself? Or is a lush and just was... The first two times I tried marijuana, weed, cannabis, whatever you want to call it, the ganj, I was drinking because that's what made me brave enough to try it. I was a tried and true child of the DARE drug program, and I came up during the war on drugs.
They've done many good things. They taught me how to do them.
Right. The DARE program showed you what they all look like. That's for sure. Yeah. In case you didn't know, here's some cocaine. Yeah.
So, what? Yeah. Me as a freaking fifth grader.
Right.
I got it from you. Dad.
Yeah.
I got it from you. My mom likes to relax with this stuff.
She calls it her special time. Yeah. So. Okay. So anyway, these wedding guests are ingesting marijuana, and if it was a high fat menu, then it was really hitting them because fat keeps it, helps it pass through the liver to get to the bloodstream. And it's if it's water soluble or if it's nano and was super potent, who knows? Where this bride, I mean, did she leave it to the caterer to decide how to do this?
There's a lot of portions? Thought processes. Because we were going back and forth back at your house about, like, what they had to have a full conversation
right
about the possibilities of what could happen.
Right.
Maybe.
Was it all the dishes? Was it just the cake?
Yeah, like
what was going on? Because
there was one person wheeled out.
Right.
But you were saying something about the possibility of them having mixed a lot of alcohol with the cannabis.
Or just started feeling funny and had a panic attack.
Yeah.
You know, they don't realize what's wrong with them. And for me, if it had been me, I would have been paranoid.
Mm-hmm.
I would have been looking under the tables and behind the doors, like,
a lot of irresponsibility happened at this, which...
You don't know. What if some of the people there were already consuming?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't know. You cannot do this. This is why they turn themselves in, and they're being charged with multiple things, because... It's never. We know that the cannabis isn't going to kill anyone, but when you mix it with people's medications, what if somebody had been drug tested the next 2 days, 3 days at work?
Well, you get
at random and didn't even know they consumed.
You got a bunch of people saying that the cannabis poisoned them, and it's like, well, in a way, you're going to only think that because of the misinformation of things. They don't understand that.
They had
that.
No concept that they were eating marijuana.
Yeah.
They had no concept that it was the food, you know, because lots of things can affect you.
Yeah.
You know, especially when there's alcohol involved. But if you're, I mean, and they're in a legal state. Now, they don't have recreational in Florida. So I don't know how they're not charging them with, like, mass drugging of people. But they are not a recreational state. They are a medical state. So how they got the enough volume to create these products, I mean, these dishes, you know, there's a lot of things here. I have a lot of questions. But it is 100% wrong that they did it without the knowledge of their guests. If you want to serve, if you're in a legal state, you know, and you or even here, I could serve infused foods. But I would never
serve it
to people who were unaware.
Yeah.
If you're going to do that at a function, you have a separate table. You have signs. You have someone standing there going, this has infused products in it, and you may fail a drug test, just to make sure people know.
And for the PC culture out there, that means simply non-consent. That's right. What that means.
Right. These people did not give their consent. Yeah. That's exactly what it boils down to. And they essentially, and I hate to use the word drugged, but they were drugged.
Mm-hmm.
They were dosed unknowingly. That is not okay. And the poor groom, too. He was like, I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, like my wife, wife did
this
that?
This is not some dumb 20-year-old bride. This is a 42-year-old woman.
Mm-hmm.
The caterer was 31 years old. These are not kids who thought it would be cute. Okay, these are people that should know better, you know, and I just, it gives everything we're trying to do about, again, it gives everything we're trying to do a bad name. I'm
highly
just,
politicized.
I literally this weekend worked with a chef who did a tent at the Mississippi Cannabis Festival that was this weekend. And, you know, I helped him infuse the one of the dishes with CBD and one with Delta 8. And it was a huge hit and everybody loved it. But when they walked into the tent, they knew what they were getting. They knew they were getting a microdose of CBD and a microdose of Delta 8 THC. And it turned out great. It was 50 people, bigger than this wedding party. Mm-hmm. No one got sick. No one complained. No one called the cops because they knew going into it. They were at a cannabis event and he was advertising these are cannabis infused dishes. And it was great, you know, and we want to be able to offer those services more often. And we're working on that, you know, and then this story comes up and I'm like, oh, great.
Yeah.
You know, we can't blame the infused food. It's the fault of the bride and the caterer or anybody else who would do this and not tell the people consuming it. You know, a lot of people joke around Thanksgiving time. You know, I see a Facebook post where they have a cherry pie and they're pouring cherry NyQuil into it. Like, you know, like drug your family so everybody gets along. And it's like, oh, so funny. But no, that's sick. You know, that's sick. Just don't go. If you have to drug your family, do not go to Thanksgiving. You know, let's not commit felonies and kill people.
You know, it's so
funny. NyQuil could kill you in the right circumstances, you know?
It's so weird because the trickle down from that is like, well, where did you learn that from? Well, I saw it in a movie one time. But then it's like,
right.
Then you give the wrong name to things where how you find these things out. It's like, well, maybe you shouldn't be watching that stuff. Or like, maybe you shouldn't be doing this stuff. Or like, hey, this is just a movie. You don't actually have to reenact some of the things you see.
Right.
But, you know, that's where the whole, of course, the cannabis thing comes in because there's already so many, it's already being demonized so badly, so horribly. That
right.
Little things like this from specific individuals that do not, you know, obviously it doesn't sound like they had the desire to think about the other people as they were doing this.
No. For whatever reason, this bride thought that it would make her wedding better. And who knows why? But if you have to drug your guests, maybe go elope somewhere and don't invite your crazy family. I don't know, but you do not.
Go to Brazil and all y'all take ayahuasca, you know?
Hey, but at least, I mean, I would have gotten people to sign a release if they were eating off that table.
Yeah, that's true.
I would have.
Or at least it could have been a separate table.
And who has a wedding and at the reception commits a massive felony? You know? I mean, the procuring of the amount of product that you would need to infuse enough food for 40 or 50 people.
She's probably unknowingly
serving it to them.
She's probably like, at least I wasn't Jim Jones and give him Kool-Aid. I gave him cannabis. Like, justifying how bad it is, but it's still just as bad because you did it to people unknowingly.
Yeah. Well, now she's having to return her wedding gifts for bail money. Yes, not the holiday she had planned, right?
She ain't going to have those grape votes for the kids.
No honeymoon for her.
That china cabinet that she once thought was going to be really cool looking.
It's too bad for the groom. They had already said the vow part. Anyway, so, but to talk about Tyler Powell is the chef I'm referring to, who I worked with this week. And this is what he did. He said they were at the Mississippi Cannabis Festival. And it's a special thanks and shout out to Cannabama, the CBD store, for sponsoring us and donating the CBD and D8 used in my recipes. The first course was a CBD-infused balsamic honey-marinated watermelon on top of mixed greens with red onion and feta. I ended the demonstration with a nice, refreshing mocktail called a black and blue Palmer. This was my take on an Arnold Palmer using D8-infused black tea and homemade blueberry lemonade. How does that not sound amazing? That sounds so fresh.
Why does it sound so good?
I know, like crispy, fresh, you know, cold. That sounds so good. But like I said, the people that walked into his tent and consumed it knew what they were getting. And if the microdosing had been done right at this wedding, people wouldn't have felt that bad. They obviously didn't know exactly what they were doing.
And you wonder, too, maybe did they just use THC and didn't use any CBD?
I don't know.
There's so many questions to be left out.
They confiscated food from the reception, and the cops wouldn't let anyone, you know, the catering crew throw it away. So I'm sure the lab testing will come back soon.
Mm-hmm. But I'm really interested to know.
Right. I hope somebody follows up. I know they just released WKRG. This happened in February. WKRG posted it today because they just released body cam footage.
Okay.
And you can go to WKRG's website and see that video and see the body cam footage. When we come back, we're going to round it out. It's been an eventful week. Stay with us.
Ooh, yeah.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Canabama. Now with all the information you want about CBD, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome back, everybody, to the final segment of Sweet Home Canabama. I'm your host, Jennifer Boozer, owner of Canabama, the CBD store in downtown, 558 St. Francis Street. Our number is 251-255-5155, and our website is canabama.com. I want to talk about John Wall, who is, as of March 1st, the leader of the Alabama Republican Party. He was asked recently by the press if he supported Dave Thomas's candidacy for governor. And his response was, no, we do not. We support family values. So let's get into that. Because what does that mean? That cannabis is anti-family value? To that, I would say, let's start with, what would you say to the parents of children who, without cannabis, will die or will live completely brain damaged or will suffer needlessly because the medications that the doctors have tried and tried and the surgeries they've tried and tried have failed? Whether that child is a toddler or a 35-year-old soldier with PTSD and suicidal ideation. How is that a family value? How is it a family value to make a statement like that, which they know will trigger so many people in such a conservative state? But they know next to nothing about cannabis. I would wager a whole lot of hard gold cash.
But then it comes back down to, it's where they'll say, this is what I think. And at the end of the day, it's not what they think. It's about what's best for the people.
Right. Right. So what about all those people? Because from where I sit, I see people, I help people every day that are sick, dying, suffering, have nowhere to turn, are frustrated, have given up hope.
They're scared to turn to you anyways because of the fear that they have of it.
Some of them are afraid to even try something different. And because in their mind, why wouldn't my doctor tell me about this?
Yeah.
Now doctors are starting to tell people to come to us.
Well, it's a Schedule I drug, so doctors can't research it.
Right. Doctors can't research it. That's one of the things we talked about on the panel.
Yeah.
They need to get it off that Schedule I so that more research can be done in the U.S. Reggie Pulliam brought up the massive amount of research in Israel, and I've talked about that a bunch of times, how it's been funded by the U.S. government since 1965. The excuse that there's not enough research, the excuse that, oh, people are, you know, stoner this, stoner that. One of the things that Dave Thomas himself brought up, unrelated to this comment by John Wall, but that's very fitting here, is the question was asked at the panel, what is the biggest misconception about cannabis in your opinion? And his answer was so poignant. He said that it ruins people's lives and it ruins families. He said, I have been a consumer. And he said this publicly, so I can repeat it. But he said, I've been a consumer of cannabis all of my adult life. I'm a father. I'm a husband. I've been a state representative. I've owned my own business. Now I'm the mayor and I'm running for governor. How do you explain people like me and the millions of people around me who consume cannabis on a daily basis, who are highly successful, highly functional, and most people wouldn't even suspect it? How do you explain that?
They'll have so many people that say the excuse of, well, you're not like everybody else.
Well, what about me?
But just to justify...
What about me? I use cannabis every day. Now, when I took pain pills every day, I was absolutely useless. Mm-hmm. Completely. And that was legal. It was given to me by doctors. And it was paid for by my insurance. You know?
And it was given as a miracle.
And approved by the FDA. And it was OxyContin. So it was really a miracle drug.
And less than one people overdose
1%,
on it.
Yeah. Less than 1% chance of addiction. And I was useless. Completely useless. And I consume cannabis every single day, and I think I've accomplished a lot. Sergio has a band, a record company, and an entertainment company, and he does stuff like this with me, and he uses cannabis every day. There's so many people.
And if I didn't, I'd be really nauseous, and I'd have anxiety, and
right.
a couple other things.
I wouldn't be able to sleep. I wouldn't be able to control my emotions. I wouldn't be able to hardly function because of the joint pain and stiffness. The PMS that kept me at home for 4 or 5 days at a time. I wouldn't be able to run this same business if I didn't consume it every day. It would be impossible.
But
I know that.
The beautiful thing about that, too, is that even as I've been doing it and the more I've become balanced, the less I've needed it, too.
Right.
Because that's the only type of drug, quote-unquote, that there is where the more you take in, the more your body balances out, the less you need it.
Right, exactly.
And so you don't crave it as much. And so, I mean, if your body is
your
balanced...
Your needs are being met.
Yeah.
And what happens is, now some people do, like I've said before, especially when it comes to consuming anything that gives you a head change... Most of that is in relation to dealing with trauma. And if you don't do the work that it requires to mature emotionally and psychologically and improve your mental health by dealing with your issues, then yes, it can be a psychological crutch. But the downturn of how your health, you know, is working out, the downturn of how you feel, you know, not feeling great if you quit using it, just goes back to the fact that now you're still eating and drinking and bathing in poison. You're still stressed. You still have life stuff. Mm-hmm. Those things will continue every single day of your life to be a catalyst against you. So if you stop using your best weapon, of course you're going to feel worse, but it is not. Trust me from the horse's mouth, it is nothing like withdrawal from a controlled substance that you are physically on a cellular level completely dependent on and cannot live without. That, and that's why we use cannabis to get people from one place to another, because it flushes the body out of all that garbage and it balances all those things you have really tried to ruin, because we treat our bodies like a garbage can whenever we're using. I mean, that includes food, that includes alcohol, that includes sex, gambling, shopping, anything that you do to excess that negatively affects your body or your life or the people around you because you can't get your stuff together, you know? So
what was it Dr. David Allen said about sanitizing instruments?
Right. Dr. David Allen said that the discovery of the endocannabinoid system and its manipulation by using cannabis, by smoking it, by eating it, somehow putting it in the body, was a more important scientific and medical discovery than the discovery of sterilization of surgical tools, and that cannabis has the potential to save more lives than sterilized surgery. And he says, and I'm a cardiac surgeon.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, and not even just talking about health, too. Watching Dave Thomas's video and why he's pro-cannabis also in legalization is he brings up the point that 4 times the yield from an acre of hemp is more than an acre of pine trees. Like, you yield 4 times more than trees.
And that's in 120 days instead of 20 years.
Exactly. So they don't require pesticides. And they also replenish the earth through bioremediation, taking out all the heavy toxins and, you know, all the metals and everything like that. So you're revitalizing an area that can be reused for more than just hemp plantation, other things as well. And you can take dead soil and dead areas and replenish them with nutrients.
I was reading a long time ago about hemp plastics.
Mm-hmm.
And they said if you had a water bottle made of hemp plastic and you tossed it out the window on the side of the road and it landed in the grass, in 60 days, that plastic bottle would be non-existent and the soil that it landed on would be more, would be better for it, mm-hmm. would have more nutrients and be better for it because of the breakdown of that hemp material back to the earth. It's fantastic.
And theoretically,
think about
everything
how many
on that
landfills.
Bottle. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Think about that. I was just, I saw a meme that said there's plenty of fish in the sea, but there's also a trash pile the size of Texas, so be careful out there. That's true. What if it biodegraded and became part of the ocean? Because there are plenty of things in the ocean with vertebra, mm-hmm. you know, instead of microplastics inside all the fish we eat. You know, so there's way more argument for it than against it. But the Republican Party is not supporting Dave Thomas because they support family values. And it's incredibly hypocritical. And yes, I am saying hypocritical. It's bull.
It's hypocritical.
Because I've buried a child, and there's no one on the face of this planet that could look me in the face and say if cannabis had been able to save his life, that his life wasn't worth that. And you could take that to the bank all day. There's no way that you can look these families in the eye and say, your child isn't enough. And that's what the Republican Party is saying. And I don't care if that sounds extreme or harsh. It is the truth. I don't pussyfoot. I don't sugarcoat. This is the way it is. Nobody likes me up there anyway.
But a lot of these people don't have to answer for what they say either.
Right, right.
They're not having to stand in front of and, you know, say,
right.
hey,
just
this
like
is
Tim
what's
James
going on.
And his multi-layered bull in that article, and we don't fire me up. It's time to go. But
look up 3 episodes ago.
Right. Yes. Anyway, thanks for being with us. We covered a ton of stuff. Thank you so much for your support. If you came out to 420, we'll see you guys next week with Reggie Pulliam, running for state representative for District 95.
Oh, Reggie.
Good night.